Hi, it's Mark Rosenthal. I'm going to go ahead and get started because it's 2 o'clock. For those that don't know me, I am an IMO and also an agent. I do sell insurance, and I think I sell insurance a little bit different kind of ways than everybody else. I'm going to go over today niche marketing and a couple things that I do that I believe will help you. And at the end, if you have any questions about anything that I went over, stop me and say, hey, tell me, you know, what you're talking about, and I'll go over details. A lot of the stuff that I will be talking about today is on the RosenthalFiles.com website, but I'm going to try to go in more detail about a lot of the stuff. The first market today I want to talk about is the uninsurable market. That is one of my best markets that I go after. I look for people who've had heart attacks, stroke, cancer, been declined. I want the what you would call reject leads, the ones that nobody wants. I want the guy that's 1,000 pounds and 2 foot tall, the person that's on oxygen. I want the person that had a stroke yesterday. One of the ways you'd find these people is the support groups. If you go to Google and type in support group, heart attack, stroke, cancer, any one of those conditions, you'll see a lot of people. Hold on, let me mute the line. 1 second, y'all. At the end, you can hit *6 to unmute yourself so we don't have any background noise. Like I was saying, on the uninsurable market, you can go after groups. The groups, you know, you can heart attack, stroke, cancer, all those kind of things. There's probably 1,000 support groups out there that you can go after. One of the support groups that I have something to do with is the National Marfan's Foundation, and I've written a lot of people with Marfan syndrome a graded death benefit product. The graded death benefit product is the best product to go after these kind of markets. All companies these days have a graded. Some of them have, you know, 30, 70, 100% death benefit or return of premium plus a certain percent of interest. But you'll find that on just about every insurance company out there. If they had a stroke yesterday, they still qualify for most of the graded. At the worst-case scenario, you're going to find a company like Presidential Life that will take somebody on oxygen or disability or kidney dialysis or whatever. Some lead companies that would give you a refund on the bad lead might sell you that lead, tell them you just want the leads that nobody else wants, nickel, dime a piece, the heart attack, stroke, and cancer. The next market I want to kind of talk about is the bank CD holders. Now, I target bank CD holders with a single premium whole life or annuities. Now, you can get a list of bank CD holders from W.S. Ponton, P-O-N-T-O-N, and you can get about 3,500 names for around $400. And on, you can also filter the list. You can say, show me everybody has an income of over $10,000, over $50,000 in this location, and see what you have. They have thousands of names to choose from. Once you get the list, the way I look at it is they either are going to leave the money to somebody or they're not. I try to filter the list where they're about 65, 67 years old with income of minimum $50,000 a year. I try to hope that they're leaving the money to somebody. If they're not leaving the money to somebody, and they're just using it as a retirement or have a bank CD, you want to approach them on an annuity versus a bank CD. Now, any annuity company out there will show you and give you what you need to do to go over them. I have a training meeting on that also. If they are not going to leave them, if they are going to leave the money to somebody, you want to talk about a single premium whole life. Let's act like, for example, let's say that he has a $50,000 bank CD, and he's going to leave it to little Johnny when he dies. Well, what he doesn't realize that if he owes a credit card company some money, that as soon as he dies, his estate can go to probate, and they'll have to put an ad in the paper for 30 days, and a lot of bad things can happen. And all you really have to do is ask them, do you want to leave little Johnny $50,000 or $100,000 tax-free money? If he gives me $50,000 today from this bank CD and he dies tomorrow, we'll give him $100,000 that cannot be probated and it cannot be taxed. I don't think there's any wise person out there that would not do that if they're leaving it to somebody. This is how rich and smart people transfer wealth from one generation to the next and avoid a lot of taxes and avoid the probate. depending on how much you put in this, this will be tax-free. Usually the limit's about $150,000 to $200,000 max for most older ages that you can transfer wealth like that. 90% of my presentation to this market is showing them I'm not a crook. First thing I do is I show them a copy of my insurance license. I show them a copy of my driver's license. I give them a number to the Georgia Department of Insurance, and I tell them that they should call them and make sure that I'm not a crook. Do I have a valid insurance license? Has anybody ever filed a claim against me? I've had a license now for 11 years, and that should say something. I give them some referrals. I also tell them they can call a probate lawyer. They can call a tax person. They can call anybody they want to and talk to me last so that they can be sure that what I'm telling them is true. Even if, let's say, the bank gives them a penalty. Let's say they hold 5% of the money, 10% of the money. You can even do 25 if you want to just be funny. Would you rather leave him, let's say if on $50,000 they penalize you $10,000, you only give me $40,000, and I only give you back $80,000. Would you rather leave him $50,000 that could be probated or $80,000 that cannot be probated? Even if we don't talk about probate and taxes and all the bad things that you all know in probate that could happen, you want to leave him $50,000 or $80,000 or $100,000? It's a great market to go after. One of the reasons I love the market is they all have money. A lot of times in final expense, you are working with people that can't really afford it. And when you get a list of these people, you know, hey, they got $10,000 in the bank. It's been there 2.5 years, and there's a good chance, you know, this either one or two things. If they don't leave it to somebody, do a bank. You can if they don't leave it to somebody, you can do an annuity. If they do a single premium whole life. Now, some of the single premiums out there are paying 15% commissions, and some of them pay anywhere from 5 to 15. The annuities are about the same thing. So if you can, buy these lists of bank CD holders. Now, you say, well, how do you approach them? You cannot call them on the telephone and say, hey, I know you got a bank CD of $10,000. There's a lot of scam artists out there that are approaching or going after these seniors, and they know not to answer your call. One of the methods I do is I try a three-approach mailing. The first thing I do is send them a postcard that offers them a free book that my friend wrote. And it talks about retirement and planning and bank CDs. And then all I'm trying to do is get the people to call me or contact me. Because once I have them on the phone, I know I got them. I know that they can't argue with me that mine's not better than theirs, that leaving that money in the bank is not the wisest decision. For lots and lots of reasons. Another market I want to talk to you about is these business owners. These business owners, the only thing on their mind is their next paycheck. I'm going to call it a get-well card or a paycheck. That the average person between the ages of 30 and 65, 1 out of 3 would be disabled for 90 days or more. Their average person cannot be disabled for 90 days. We can't go a week without a paycheck. So if they went 90 days without a paycheck, they probably lose everything they own. Most of the foreclosures in America today is not from losing a job, but health conditions. That's a fact. What I want to do, if you have a heart attack, stroke, cancer, or any condition listed with most of these companies, I want to give you a check. The average person today has health insurance in case something goes wrong that they'll get it taken care of. They won't lose their home or everything. But what they don't realize is after you have a heart attack, stroke, cancer, you're probably not going to die. You probably won't go back to work in the next 30, 60, 90 days, depending on the condition. And the health insurance won't pay for itself. I'll give you an example. My mother, Sheila, owned a bonding company. She's bringing in about $2,500 a week. And she had life insurance, she had health insurance, she had everything you can think of besides critical illness. When she had her first heart attack, she was told she could not go back to work for 60 days. She was the only one running that bonding company at the time, and she was just devastated. Her health insurance was about $420 a month. She couldn't afford to keep paying for that, and, you know, the bills kept coming in. I mean, she had to pay rent and power and food and all the things you never think about. If she had just bought a $25,000 critical illness plan, that would have gave her 6 months' income, would have paid for the health insurance, and everything would have been okay. On a critical illness plan, you can add return of premium. So you can tell them, look, if you don't need this, I will give you all your money back. Now, you can do most face amounts, $25,000, $50,000, $75,000, $100,000. But the average person at least needs $25,000. So if you had that heart attack, stroke, or cancer. Some plans cover as many as 18 conditions. But the more conditions a plan covers, the more money it's going to cost. I try to keep the price really small. Then my question used to be when I call them, do you want a get-well card or a paycheck after having a heart attack, stroke, and cancer? When my mother had her heart attack, she must have got 1,000 get-well cards, but not one of them had a check in it. I mean, she was about to have to build a house out of those cards. It would have been nice if one of those checks was from Mark Rosenthal from my insurance company for $25,000. She lost her bonding company and almost everything she owns from that. That's why she works here today. There's a lot of people. I've had a lot of clients that need this. I hope you never need it and you have to get all your money back. How can you lose? To a business owner, all he cares about is his next paycheck. And if he don't get that next paycheck, what are you going to do? This is the most important decision a business owner can make. Another prospecting system I want to talk about is a little stupid idea that really works. If you've ever seen these fundraiser cards, they look like a business card, front and back. It looks like a tic-tac-toe board. Usually it's for like a school or Boy Scouts or Cub Scouts or youth department. They sell the card for about $5. My idea is that you could do the same thing. First thing you're going to do is go to a charity like the Cub Scouts, the Boy Scouts, any youth department, any school that's trying to raise money, and this is the easy way to do. Next, after you have the permission, you're going to go to business owners like restaurants. Tell them you're doing a fundraiser for kids, and will they give you 10% off or something you can add to that little business size card, like 25% off, 10% off, free car wash, whatever can go on this card. It's not really, it's a reusable card that can expire in about 6 months. One thing this is going to do is put you in front of business owners and get you past the gateway keepers. This job is for you not to talk to the business owner. You can say, hey, this is for Moreland Road Elementary. I just want to see if you wanted to have a little free coupon. Most businesses out there are advertising with billboards and coupons and giving away the stuff anyways. When I tell them, look, how would you like me to have, you know, your ad in front of thousands of people, do a good deed, and let us do all the work for you, and it won't cost you anything extra than what you're already doing. So you go to about 8 on the front, 12 in the back businesses, and you fill it up with things. Now, also, this is your card. On one of the squares on the front and back, you can put whatever ad you want to put on there. You might say free living wheels. You might say free credit reports. You might say, you know, anything you want to say. Then, while you're talking to the business owners, you might talk to them about the critical illness, disability income, health insurance, or employee benefits, or a cross-sale or a buy-sell agreement, or anything. Next, after you put your ad on it, the fundraiser people are going to sell those cards for $5. On average, it costs a nickel to make one of these cards. If you go real high-class fancy, you might go all the way up to 15 cents. But it's 95% profit for the fundraising people. After you raise, come up with like 5 or 10,000 of these, and all the kids are giving them out and selling them, your ad is going to everybody they give one to, and it's not costing you a thing. It didn't cost you anything to print them because fundraising people, the school is going to pay for the nickel, making $4.95 a card. You're not out anything other than the time to go to the business owners. Because you own the cards, one thing I would do is keep maybe 500 cards. And you can use those as referrals or giving away to people or just whatever you want to do. You own the card. Then after they are done with the fundraiser, they raise whatever money they raise, they'll come back and thank you. I want my name in front of all the Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts and youth departments and all that. Let them know who I am and that I helped them. Sometimes they'll give you a trophy or an award or something, and you can get up there and talk to them about the stuff. This is a simple idea, and on my website, rosenthalfiles.com, I have an example of a card, or you can always email me. I'll show you the card and help you make one, show you how I did it. Another thing I want to talk about that I've been doing is a niche market. In the last 2 weeks, I've been calling these repo men. I believe in an accidental death with return of premium product. I've got a product that if you die in an accident, it'll give you a lot of money. And if you don't die in an accident, we'll give you all your money back. And what the niche of it is targeting certain groups that nobody wants. I'm talking about firemen. I'm talking about police officers. I'm talking about truck drivers. I'm talking about somebody that has health conditions. Somebody with AIDS can buy this. Somebody with any kind of health condition can buy this. The only question is, have you had a decline in the last 5 years? If you say no to that, you qualify. Here lately, I've been calling repo men. One, a repo man is a business, and there is not a do not call list. You can find lists of repo men everywhere. I paid $20 to a guy at Nissan Financial to give me a list of everybody in Georgia. And I started calling them. And it's simple how I talk to them. I just kind of shoot the breeze with them. You know, are you a repo man? And can I talk to you for a minute? And what is this about? Is this a dangerous job? Is this like what you see on TV, like Operation Repo? Let them laugh at you and tell you how it's fake. You know, have you ever been hurt on it? And then you tell them, you show them a product. Lots of companies have an accidental death product with return premium. You can United Home Life has one, Surety has one, American Ample has one. The trick of that kind of product is going after these groups. Imagine being married to a fireman, a police officer, or a hazardous occupation that a lot of the companies are now taking. You can get in front of a group of firemen or police officers, hit them all at once. Motorcycle riders. Most of us that are married, if we came home with a motorcycle, would probably be divorced. Here we call them organ donors in Georgia. If you own a motorcycle, we call you an organ donor. It's a very dangerous thing. And these plans are so cheap and with return of premium that they need to have it. With me, I cannot call 25 repo men without selling one or getting a decent appointment. It might take me 2 hours to make one sale. In my free time, when I'm not doing what I normally do, I'll sit here and just call them. I've been known to go after firemen. Police officers I haven't had much luck with, but motorcycle people are the easiest people to talk to. Just ask them about the motorcycle. Start asking questions like, do you know anybody's ever been hurt on a motorcycle? Do you know anybody's ever been killed on a motorcycle? What does your wife think about you having this? And what would you do if you got hurt on this motorcycle? So that's another good niche you can go after. One other niche I want to talk about is it's kind of like services and clients. I'm going to talk about my living will prospecting and my organizing your personal affairs. And I'm going to tell you that's one of the biggest things I've ever done. What I do is I will offer anybody a living will, and I'll help them do medical power of attorney, and I also will help them with a kit called Organizing Your Personal Affairs. And what it does is, let me give you an example. I had one of my neighbors, Miss Mary, call me. And she said, Mark, my dad's been dead for 6 days. I can't find his life insurance, and I can't find his will, and I don't know what to do. The agent that had sold her that insurance really didn't do a good job. He didn't fix the problem of, when I die, everything should be taken care of. And that's part of what we're supposed to do. What good is life insurance if they don't know who you have it with? They don't know who has your will. And unless you know to go to MIB.com policy locator, it's pretty hard to find that policy. They're not going to knock on your door and try to pay you money without a death certificate and you making a claim. Companies just don't ever want to do that. So I had to go do a policy locator, find out where she had the policy at, help her do the claim. And then it was like the will. You can't just call every lawyer in the phone book, and that is just horrible to do. What my kit does, like on page one, I do or don't have a will. This is who it's with. I do or don't have life insurance. This is who you need to contact. I do or don't have a living will. Another section will be, who do you need to call upon my death? You'll be surprised at what all phone numbers your family doesn't have that they'll probably need. There's a lot of sections in that kit. On my Organizing Your Personal Affairs as an agent, it's not locked, so if you don't like something like what's your pet's name, delete it, change it, or add to it. Make it your own. So that if Miss Mary had done this kit, she could have just flipped it open and said, oh, they got a will with Walker Chandler, and here's his phone number. They got insurance with ABC Insurance Company. Let me go ahead and start on that claim. I need to call Aunt Susie in Alaska. Here's her phone number. I don't care if the client has already bought life insurance. They need this. What happens if you become on life support? Do you think your family knows what to do or what do you want to do? You don't want to make them second guess themselves. You know, should we unplug them or not unplug them? A living will in just about all states, the federal guideline says, if the sheet of paper has four corners on it, you yourself can do a living will. It does not require a lawyer. A doctor's office will do it most of the time when you go on an appointment. The difference in the state laws is the witness signature. Some states will make you do a notary. Some of them will make you just do a normal witness, and the witness can never be a family member. And there's also a medical power of attorney. Some people are going to say, I can't decide what I want to have happen, but I want this person to do it. There's a lot of separated people right now that needs to do a medical power of attorney that make sure that their soon-to-be ex will not decide what happens to them when they die. I feel like this is servicing the client. One of the things this does is when I'm helping you do this, organize your personal affairs, and I see that you have insurance with ABC Insurance Company. And let's say you bought a $50,000 term plan with ABC. Well, it's kind of like preaching to the choir. Most of the time, you can find something cheaper than what they have. They probably bought the wrong thing. The person that sold it to them didn't know what they sold to them. Or you can add more to it. You know, oh, you need a critical illness plan. Oh, you need return of premium that gives you all your money back if you don't die. Or you bought a 10-year term. You should have bought a 30-year term, man. You ain't but 35 years old. What was you thinking? And it gives you a chance to already see what they have. The sad fact is most of the people out there who own life insurance don't know what they have. And it gives you a chance to review this. Another thing on this, now I have where we're going to write down your six pallbearers. Now, with your permission, I'd like to call them and tell them what we are out here doing today and make sure they want to be one of your pallbearers. Not everybody wants to sit by the door of an airplane, that emergency door, and open the door and be under the pressure. So it's nice to ask them, hey, do you mind being one of those pallbearers? But when I have that person on the phone, I'm going to ask them, has anybody ever done this service for you? Can I come out and do a free little service for you? I normally charge $49.95. I'm doing it free because you're a friend of Mr. Susie or Miss Susie or whatever. And then I was like, well, I already got life insurance. Well, you need this because if you just have life insurance and you have a will and they cannot find it, it's not any good. And you can say, look, you know six people I can help do this with? The next thing you know, when you do one person, you're going to end up having six more people to call to try to do these kits on. I would say when you're doing these things, you get them talking about death and dying. On the average day, I don't think about, you know, if I die, what's going to happen to my four kids. It's pretty hard, unless I go to a funeral, that ever crosses my mind. But we can make them think about this when you get talking about living wills and these final decisions and all that. If they don't have a will, you might contact some lawyers in your area and make a deal. Maybe they'll charge $100 for a will. They'll charge the client now $150, and you make $50 referrals. There's ways to kind of cut in on that. You know, you can offer everybody this service, and it keeps going. It's a non-ending referral system of people keep on, hey, I heard you help her with this. Can you help me with this? It doesn't cost you anything but paper and ink to do, and you can still download that from rosenthalfiles.com. The next market I want to talk about is these life-changing events. That's one of the first things my father taught me to go after. Life-changing events like people that just bought a new home, people just had a baby, people that just lost a job, people that just got a new job, anything that's big life-changing event. Like one of the examples is going to be buying a new home. We all know if you buy a new home and you have a 30-year mortgage, 20-year mortgage, whatever you have, and something happens to you, you're going to lose everything. And all you got to do is ask them, hey, if you don't come home, is she going to keep this house? That was one of the best markets before the economy fell through. You can very easily find lists of new homeowners. Here in my state of Georgia, we go to gaassessors.com, and I can look up every tax assessor's website here in Georgia. If you Google tax assessors in your state, most of the time your local tax assessor will have a website where you can look up who just bought a new home in your area. If they don't have it, you can always do like we did back in the old days. Go down to the courthouse, to the probate office, get the deed property transfer book, and start in the back of the book, because they do put them in the order of the receipts, and copy those names down. Now, what I did back in the old days was I'd be like the welcome committee. I'd like to come out and bring you a lot of free gifts for moving into Cedar Griffin, Georgia. Now, I have a free Papa John's pizza, a free dry cleaning, a free teeth cleaning. You come up with a lot of things. If you join the local Chamber of Commerce or go after these business owners and tell them that you are approaching new homeowners and you want to see if there's anything they'd offer them, like when I called Papa John's Pizza, they said, yeah, we'll give them a free pizza. We target those new people, and we want them to try us before they try Pizza Hut and everybody else. Same thing with the teeth cleaning. I said, look, there's 100 dentists in Griffin. The truth be told, when the first family you clean their teeth on, they're going to stay here forever. Same thing with dry cleaning. You go with the first one you ever go with. As long as you treat them right, they'll stay with it. And if you don't want to do this, I'll get another business to do it. You come up with all these free gifts. All you try to do is get your foot in the door. When your foot's in the door, you start talking about, man, this is a nice house, and what does your husband or wife do for a living, and then you just start talking about what would you do if he don't come home. And you show him usually a term plan with return of premium with a lot of riders. And if he don't die, he gets all his money back. The return of premium will usually pay for the funeral and do a lot of stuff you need to do. Another life-changing thing is going to be having a baby. Every time I had a kid, I thought, boy, I can't, you know, this is the best moment of my life. I can't, you know, I'll never see this again. You ask that proud daddy, is he going to college, is he going to school, or if something happens to that child, what would happen? You can find people that just had a baby in the newspaper. The newspaper has a lot of life-changing events. Sometimes they'll have new homeowners, people have anniversaries, people that are having babies, people that whatever, target those people. One of the life-changing events is one of the bad ones, I call it, is going to a funeral. Every time I go to the funeral, to be honest, I think what everybody else is thinking. One, I'm glad it's not me. I wonder what my funeral is going to be like. I wonder how much this funeral cost, and I wonder if they're going to ask me for money to help pay for this funeral. That happens about half the time because they didn't have life insurance. Everybody in that funeral home is thinking all those things. And they're thinking about death and dying, and now is the best time to approach people who've been to the funeral. Now, how do you find people who've been to the funeral? Yes, in the obituaries, it does list their family members, like their aunts or cousins and all that. You can do a random mailing where they don't know you target them from the obituaries and just send them anything. I've sent them a family portrait where the daddy's been erased out of the picture. And a lot of times they'll call you because it's on their mind. Maybe they stayed up all night talking about it. There's other ways to find people who've just been to a funeral, but you want to try to target those people. You want to look for those life-changing events. Another one of my prospecting things or niche markets I do is I stay in contact with my clients. I send them a monthly newsletter. Now, this is an email newsletter. I used to use paper, but it costs too much. We're constant contact. On my newsletter, I talk about 95% of things have nothing to do with insurance. If I was talking nothing about insurance, they wouldn't read it and be boring. My newsletter talks about everything. One section is how to clean everything. One's a medical section. One of them's a coupon section. At the very bottom, I put my ads, like free living wheels, free credit reports, free organizing personal affairs, and all that. And I'm always surprised at how many of the people forwards my emails to other people. It's like a free ad, like a free newspaper, and you put your own ad in. If you want to, you can always contact me, and I'll teach you how to do these newsletters. But another thing I do with my existing clients is I send them a birthday card every year. And then about 2 weeks for the birthday, I call them and just say, hey, how you doing? Happy birthday. And I'm also calling to check on your policy. My question is, do you need more insurance? Do you need less insurance? Did you just lose your job? Did you just get a job? Did you buy a new house? Did you have a new baby? Do you know anybody needs to buy life insurance? And they don't mind you calling and checking on them and wishing them a happy birthday. A lot of times you can get another sale, or they could say, look, man, I lost my job. I'll assist and lapse that policy, and you can find them something cheaper or better and switch it out. Stay in contact with your clients. at least call them once a year just to ask them how they're doing. Send them a birthday card if you can. Send them some kind of newsletter. Stay in contact with them. Do not sell a client and never see them again. That would be a big mistake. Another thing I want to talk to y'all about is what I call preaching to the choir. You want to find people that already has life insurance. That way you really don't talk them into buying life insurance. You just have to find something better. One of the examples I'm going to talk about is term. A lot of people have term without return of premium. Now, I am a fan of return of premium. There's a lot of reasons why people may not like it. But if you do it like it's designed, it'll work out for you. If you don't die, I'll give you all your money back. Now, let me tell you, I used to, on these new homeowners, I'd say between the ages of 30 and 50, they all had a 30-year mortgage. They had a kids that's going to be there at least 20 years. What I would do is sell them a large term policy, usually about $500,000. I'd add return premium, disability income, or critical illness to it, and some other riders to it. I always show them the riders and give them the options. Then, because their immediate need is to pay off the house, have some income, put the kids in college. They need a lot more in the beginning than they do at the end when the house is paid for and the kids are gone in retirement. At the end of the period, they usually get anywhere between $30,000 and $60,000 back. You could take and give me $5,000 of that money from 30 years from now and do a single premium whole life and make it a $10,000 paid-up policy. That'll take care of your funeral. You can take the other percent of the money and go on a vacation, put it towards retirement, do everything you want to do because it is tax-free money because you didn't make a profit off of it. It is really a forced savings account, I like to call it, where you will get all your money back. And when you show them, look, this is going to take care of your immediate need, your long-term needs, and if you don't die, you get all your money back, how can you lose, especially after you add the critical illness, disability income, or some of those riders? It is very important you always show those riders to all the people on there. That's another good market. Now, what I'd like to do now is open up the lines and see if y'all have any questions about what I went over so far. So to unmute your phone, all you have to do is hit *6. And then if there's any questions so far, just let me know.
Hey, Mark, this is Rick. You got a second for a question?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, you know, I'm obviously familiar with a lot of what you do, and
right.
Boy, if I could have redone this conference call any differently, I would have you spend a half an hour on one subject, because obviously you just barely touched the surface on these. The one that is of interest to me really
okay.
is the single premium life idea.
Sure.
And I know, you know, I've got Sankin's book and all that, and I'm thinking that, to be honest with you, the book itself may not be necessary if you can design a direct mail piece that
right.
just says, what is your CD pay in the to your beneficiaries? Obviously, it's the amount of your CD. How much
right.
is your annuity pay? It's obviously the amount of your annuity.
Yeah.
And there's tax consequences for both items, and there's probate consequences certainly for the CD.
Yes.
Life insurance avoids all of them, and depending on the product, can provide you with a long-term care benefit that you don't have now. I know you're talking about using Ponton for CD holders.
Yeah.
For the list. I'm just wondering if you just randomly choose people of the right age with an income between, I don't know, pick a number, 30 and 60 grand, meaning
yeah.
if they have a CD, they're not using it. And save yourself the money and just do a mailing to those people. Any comment on that?
I like cherry picking. No, I think it's better off if you have a list. Like instead of just calling, you're talking about just the age group. You don't know if they have a bank CD or not. Not using WS Ponton and just trying to find people that have bank CDs on your own.
Well, do you not think that most people, if they have an income between 30 and 60, have money in the bank?
I do, but for the $400, though. I mean, on single premium whole life, that is where I make the most money, but I spend the most money. I mean, I made $18,600 off one case, and I'm not going to make that money selling 50 normal apps sometimes. I do spend, you know, $400 for 3,500 names, and when I get done with the list, the people that do other kinds of insurance usually buy them from me at cost. I end up paying nothing. It gives me all kinds of information. It gives me their birthdays. I mean, I don't know how they get this information. I have a guess, but it's amazing what they have. But, no, I buy the list. for years, I couldn't buy the list, and we did that. We just tried to do random mailings to people to see if they have a bank CD, and it was a needle in a haystack. But I like knowing that when I talk to them, that, hey, I know this person on this list has a problem. I just got to figure out how to get them to talk to me. So I prefer buying the list.
Okay, well, okay, you certainly made a case for that.
Way would work also.
I can always call them, of course, and ask the question. Maybe you know this already.
Yes.
Let's say two or three agents want to get together and split the cost of the list. Obviously, it's no big deal. But
sure.
Will they divide the list by zip code or state? I assume they will.
When you call, they're asking to Joseph. That's who I always buy my list from. Yeah, usually he'll work with you. I mean, I've had him give me double the order one time and do a lot of neat things or give me the wrong list. When you're talking about these lists, by the way, they sell lists to everything from people that have a gambling problem to people that have annuities already to they offer lists, get that catalog, I mean, of people that give money to charity.
I wonder if they have a bad driving list and if you're on it.
I'm definitely on it, especially with 2X in 1 month. But these data companies, there's a lot of companies out there that will sell you all kinds of lists by age, income, birthday. You can buy a list these days of just about anything you can think of. But the bank CD holders is a lot of money. You on like 15%. If you move $100,000, you will make $15,000 off of that sale. And that's some real money. If I had to spend $2,000 to make $15,000, I'd definitely do it. The biggest obstacle is getting them to listen to you. We've all been trained as kids, the safest place to put your money is a bank CD. You know, put your money in the bank because the FDIC insured, not realizing that the average, you know, reserve on a life insurance policy of any magnitude is $350,000, which is more than FDIC. You're not going to lose your money in a bank CD, and we can show them all this. And then probate. If you've ever went through probate, you know, when my grandfather died, I went through probate. I thought I was going to get a lot of stuff I never got because he owed a Sears credit card, Discovery card, and they got their money for I did. The only money I got was the $1,000 off the Globe Life policy that he left me. To me, if there was no probate, no taxes, or ex-wife taking half your money, you want to leave him double what you thought you was going to leave him. Tax-free cannot be probated. It's always going to be yeah. The only thing we have to show them is that we're not a crook, and you simply do that by showing them all your information and really show them you're just not a crook. Tell them to call everybody else first and call me last. But that is the money-making thing. But of all the ideas I have, it does cost money because I'm doing mailings. I got CDs to send them. They can watch DVDs. I got the postcards. It's all trial and error, but if you sold a couple like I sold. When I made that $18,000, I was bouncing off the walls. And I always take a fourth of what I make and stick it back in, and I still have money to do another mailing. But right now, I'm stuck in this repo man calling because that's the easiest thing I can do right now, sitting here in the office on the telephone to make a sale. I know every day, if I spend 2 hours doing it, I'm going to get an appointment or make a sale. Do y'all have any more questions?
The mortgage market you mentioned that you know it was once vibrant and of course we all now know it is not. What would be your suggestion on spending time on that market or going in another direction?
Well, I would do it a different way. Back then, like in Cedar Griffin, we sold over 150 houses a month. Now we have 3 or 4 that sold. And where I could have done it full-time just doing that market, just going to business owners, just doing that, I can't do it the same way. But I can still do it the same way at a smaller scale. I can send them a postcard, you know, or some kind of mailing to all them. The trick is where to get the data. If you go to those tax assessors' websites or that go to the courthouse and actually pay somebody to write down the names, mail them something, you know, you'd be surprised the free gifts you can make up to mail to them. You can send them the local map or a listing of all the power numbers, the cable number, the poison control number, and something, welcome them to the city of Griffin or whatever Griffin city it is, with a little free little gift, with a business card, tell them you want to come out and bring them some gifts. I don't care if you go buy Sam's Club and buy them a $10 gift. It will pay off to do it. People are still buying term. We all think that anybody buying insurance is seniors buying whole lives, but there's a lot of people still buying houses. So you won't do it on the same scale you was doing it, but I still get that phone call where they just bought a new house and want to do something. But best way to do is direct mail right now.
That comment that you had a minute ago about writing the big face amount for homeowners.
Yes.
Was that, were you referring to a non-med or an underwritten product?
It doesn't matter.
Non-med obviously is going to be a lot.
Well, back when I started doing that, they would do a higher non-medical limit if you had a mortgage to refinance in the last 18 to 24 months. Today, they don't do it that way. That everybody qualifies for the same non-medical if you have a mortgage or not. But back then, I had a $350,000 non-medical limit. And then, at the time, there was a company that went up to a $500,000 for just a saliva or just a something simple. I can still today do a $350,000 mortgage on a new homeowner, and I mean insurance policy, non-med. So you could do it either way. That if it's medical or not medical really doesn't matter. What I try to do is get, you know, a big amount to start with, you know, because you don't think of when that person's dead, not only you got to pay off the house, pay off everything else, but you're going to lose that $50,000 a year income. You need
right.
a little egg to help you.
Right, a little fact-finding to find out, you know, what their other cash needs are besides
yes.
just taking care of the mortgage.
Well, yeah, I mean, like when I did my financial planner on myself, I didn't realize, well, hell, the house costs $220,000 if I died, so she needs $220,000. Okay, my funeral's going to be $10,000. Well, she needs $230,000. But, Mark, you know, let's say you're making $140,000 a year. It takes two of our incomes to pay off to break even. Next year, I won't get $140,000. I'm out of $140,000.
Right.
I can't go get two jobs or a drug dealer boyfriend. What am I supposed to do? And I said, well, what if I gave you 2 years' income, put a little money aside for this, a little aside for that, and then without blinking an eye, I was at $500,000. I said, well, honey, I do that non-med. And to be honest with you, I don't like doing medical. So I don't want you to stick me with a needle and wait a month. I like to have this issue in 3 days.
Right.
It is up to the client if they want to do medical or non-medical.
Uh-huh.
But these days, there's not a big price difference between medical and non-medical with technology because if you have AIDS or whatever, we already know it. The medical is just going to show us if you're on drugs right now. And most time you're on drugs, we're going to pull it up on the computer anyways. Or nicotine also, which we already know that these days.
Okay. So yeah, they're gonna pull up the pharmacy and
yes.
see what you're taking for, and that's gonna tell them what you have.
Well, one of the systems I got to see all those systems one time with two insurance companies showed it to me, and what you don't realize, like when you go to Ingles or Kroger's or any of these discount cards, and you scan that card. That becomes a database. To give you an example, if you start buying cigarettes, you'll start getting, you know, coupons in the mail, and you don't know why. If you ever read the bottom of that sheet of paper, it says they can sell that information to third-party affiliates. Life insurance companies are third-party affiliates that buy that data. They cannot solely decline you based off that information, but they do use that information, by the way. A lot of people don't know that. I've seen declines like, how do they know that that guy smoked cigarettes? And then if they could tell me the truth, it's because he lives by himself and he uses that card every week and he buys cigarettes every week. Is he buying it for somebody else? And if the underwriter can tell me the truth, it's amazing. Like, you know about the prescription check. Everybody thinks that the MIB is all that. The MIB is only goes back 7 years. It really don't track what you think it does. They got a system called a GIS. It tracks your tax stuff, all your stuff, what you're buying at Walmart. A lot of companies will use it and never tell you they're using it.
Mm.
I've got two companies using that system. That's a lot better than MIB.
One final question on the critical illness, probably one of the best products ever developed.
Yes.
But, you know, it's like cold calling is like everything else. I don't care if you're selling carrots or critical illness. It's tough to, A, get to the right person, and then, B, get that person to listen to you. You know, you can buy lists, like you said, W.S. Ponton. You can
yes.
buy Sales Genie, et cetera. Any Do you have any advice at all on cold calling? Because it's
Let me tell you what I do.
I don't really have the resources to do a lot of mailings. And so
right.
For me, it's cold calling.
Well, you got to remember, two of the things I do involves business owners. One is that coupon book thing, and some of these fundraiser things, and then join the Chamber of Commerce. Go to some of those business meetings. They have one every month, and just act like you're a local business owner. Go there and just start talking to them. Introduce yourself. That won't cost you a thing. Join that, you know, it might cost you $100 membership. Go join them and say, hey, I want to help y'all promote your businesses, or you know, whatever you got to do. But bring some facts. You know, most people don't know that number one cause of foreclosure in America is health related.
Right.
Now, I'm a business owner. All I can think about is my next paycheck. If I was to have a heart attack, stroke, and cancer today, I would lose everything I own. If you don't have a critical illness plan. You do not. You got those gateway keepers. The trick is how to get past the gateway keeper.
Right.
If I go in there and say, "Hey, I'm doing a fundraiser for Moreland Road Elementary, and I want to help promote your business," I will get past that gateway keeper, and he'll give me 5 minutes of his time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll ask him, "Hey, what do you do for this or that, or, you know, let me help you." And then when you got them, talk about something else. The trick is to join these groups or associations of business owners and then talk to them one-on-one. Get past their shields is the best way to do it.
Get them outside of their –
Now, I have a – the number one question I want to ask you today is, do you want a get well card or a paycheck after having a heart attack, stroke, and cancer?
Right.
What the hell are you talking about? Well, do you realize between the ages of 30 and 65, one out of three people will have that happen? And if you're one out of the three, what do you want to have happen? Get a lot of get-well cards, or do you want a paycheck? You know, just a simple $25,000 check that costs you about a dollar a day would save you. There's a lot of people out there with health insurance. They don't have to be a business owner. The average person buys health insurance because in case something really big happens, I need a transplant, I have a heart attack, I get a stroke, whatever, it'll take care of everything. But they don't realize as soon as you quit paying Kaiser or Blue Cross Blue Shield that check, you don't have insurance anymore. So you need to also make sure you can pay for that health insurance when you do need it. Kind of plugs the hole in the boat to me.
Yeah. Good. Thank you.
Is there any more questions? I know I shot around a lot. I was trying to get it all crammed in 1 hour, so I know a lot of y'all do stuff.
Oh, Mark, hey, this is Scott. How you doing?
Oh, real good. How about you?
Hi, thanks for the great conference call and the info. Very helpful. I did have a quick question for you.
Sure.
I took a look just in my own research, and I'm kind of a newbie. I'll say that up front. But checked out the accidental death policy. I was interested in, you know, maybe trying to offer that to firemen, whatever.
Sure.
What my research showed me is roughly it's around $23 a month. To cover, I think, $100,000. I think.
Yeah, and it starts off $100,000 day one. It goes up like
right.
$5,000 a year. It doubles $200,000 in 20 years.
Okay. Now, don't hold me to this, but I think
okay.
Mutual of Omaha has something for $19.95 a month, where it'll pay anywhere from $300,000 to
right.
a million.
Well, let me tell you the differences, because I've studied
yeah.
that product, and Assurity has the
yeah.
Equiflex, which is even cheaper than that.
Mm-hmm.
The,
okay.
One reason why I do that, one price fits everybody. If I'm in there
mm-hmm.
talking to 55 firemen,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to have to say, well, you're $12 and you're $14 and you're $18. I'd say from 18 to 60, male, female, smoker, non-smoker, any health conditions, $22.79
mm-hmm.
a month. When I'm doing 27 applications, it's just easier
yeah.
to do that. Instead of, if I have to sit here and quote every one of you, I can't do a group. And
uh-huh.
then also, it's simpler to have one price for everybody. It's the best way
mm-hmm.
to put it.
But if I were buying it, I'm not playing the devil's advocate. Maybe
okay.
things are more inflated up here in New York. You know, I'll grant you that. But I think it would be much easier to sell, look, depending on the cause of the accidental death, this is going to pay off $300,000 to $1 million, except for terrorism or whatever. There might
right.
be certain things that it doesn't pay for. I'd much rather be hearing that than I'm going to get $100,000 on day one and up to, you know, $200,000. What
but
do you say, in 20
the concept
years?
Works
you know?
With any company you're with. Yeah, it don't matter if you
mm-hmm.
sell them which company, it still works.
Yeah.
I mean, if they want to buy that, then buy that. But
I see. Okay.
When I'm mainly doing mine, I sound like a broken record. $22.79 a month, $245 a year. I'd have the same fill out in 2 minutes. I can sell you over the phone. We're done with it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
But, yeah, I mean, with, matter of fact, a surety has one cheaper than that, the one that Equiflex. I mean, you can give them $1 million, probably $18 a month, without return premium, though, depending on the state and the product. But, you know, the whole concept there is any company's accidental death, that's just who you target for those products.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the RosenthalFiles.com website, a lot of my ideas are on there in details, like the Get Well Card and Paycheck, or even the bank CD holders. You actually watch a video that I send them. So if you anytime any of you want to go check that out, it's on there. You can always call me. You know, my number is 770-968-5757. Or email markcrosenthal@aol.com. I'll try to answer your, you know, do some questions or whatever y'all need help with. But try to think outside of the box. Find your niche. Find somebody that has a problem and see if you can solve that problem. That's mainly what I do, is try to do things nobody ever thinks of, or go after these niches.
Can we contact you for contracting, obviously? And
yeah.
Are you here's this isn't a loaded question, but you know, some IMOs are available for, like the other young gentleman just mentioned. He's a newbie, and I'm kind of a newbie as well. I mean, are you available for lack of?
I will help you if you're my agent or not. You do not have to be contracted Mark Rosenthal to call me anytime.
Well, I know you. Well, I've received your emails, and you're very considerate and very.
But on emails, yeah, I'll answer an email at 11 o'clock at night, even after hours. So, yeah, I'm always here to help.
You've been very well with providing your time. I know you've sent me a couple of emails, and I appreciate it. But I need to talk to you about some contracting. So I'll call you later.
Right. Now, if you can also go to cheaperterminsurance.com to sign up for some of those newsletters you're talking about. Those newsletters are for agents with some of my ideas. It's pretty easy to use, and I'll try to, you know, give you ideas, and maybe too many of them. You can always add yourself or unadd yourself anytime you want to, but I do offer contracts too. That is my day job. You can go to realfastservice.com and look at my IMO website, but you know, right now I'm just trying to give you all some pointers and all that.
Right. Thank you.
All right. Is there any more questions I can help you all with? I know it's Friday and it's summertime, and I want to go try to sell some insurance so I can have some extra money.
Hey, Mark, I got one question for you.
Sure.
You talked about the new homeowners, and I'm in Indiana, and I can find who owns a home by the address, you know, punch in the address, whatever, but I can't find online the recent property transfers. Where did you say the best place at the courthouse? Where to do that? Where do you do that?
You go to the probate office. You get the property transfer deed book, or the deed book is what I call it, but it's property transfer deed book because they also put other stuff in it.
Okay.
Well, I did that for a while, and when I first was a dumb kid and before I had my license, my father paid me to go record those names from the courthouse, and that's where I got all my data from. That's before you had the Internet.
Sure.
And, like, Florida and Georgia and a lot of states, there's about 19 of them, have, like, GAAssessors.com. When you type in that, you'll see a list of counties. You can pick on, like, Spalding County, where I live. You'd hit sale. I have a training video on Rosenthal Files to show you exactly how I do it here in Georgia, but it makes it real easy to export them to Excel, mail them, or call them, and all that. But,
sure. Now, when you mentioned doing the freebies for them and stuff like that, you know, say you've got a half dozen coupons for them, do you maybe do a mailing? Hey, I'll give you these giveaways if we get together, or what's the best way to get them to respond? I guess.
There's a couple ways when you do it. Now, the trick is you can't when you're moving in there. I mean, I got the U-Haul in the yard, and I'm moving all this crap in. It's not the best time to go bug them.
Sure.
You want to wait till at least a month after they've been there, because you want them to kind of be at that stage. Now, like when I move in the house, I'm thinking, God, I need the number to the cable company, and who do I call for the trash and all that? Your initial letter, why can't you mail them something that gives them what they initially need when they move there? Maybe a list of some churches. Maybe a list of the power companies and the doctors and all that, and welcome them to the City of Griffin, and then offer to bring them some other gifts. So your initial letter could be, look, I know you just moved in City of Griffin. I thought you could use this information, and here's a list of some contacts you might need. And you get those contacts from the phone book, by the way.
Sure.
And then followed up with, I'd like to come bring you a free teeth cleaning, a free, you know, dry cleaning, a free month of storage. Any storage unit building in your town will give that to you anyways. Just go ahead and put your name on it. Get 2 months or something. And then I know I wouldn't say no to a teeth cleaning, a free pizza, a free thing of storage and all those things.
Sure.
I had people come in and seat me for an hour for a free can of Free Breeze, so I'm a sucker. You knock on my door, any free gift, you can have an hour of my time.
Why do you think policemen have been reticent to sign up for accidental death?
Oh, man, I wish I knew that. I don't know how to really put that in the answer. I want to say it, but I don't know. It's just, maybe it's me that I was intimidated by them, but they're not as friendly as motorcycle people and firemen and all that. They have an ego. That's why I can put it.
Okay.
If you are a cop or a family member of a cop, they treat you different if you are not a cop. Mm. And let me tell you, going back to like firefighters, most counties give them like a $75,000 policy from that fireman, whatever fund it is. If they left them a $200,000 policy, it's never enough. The average fireman has 10 kids, and if one kid goes to UGA in Georgia, it's going to cost you $120,000. So there's different markets for that.
Right.
But that accidental death thing is something I can do when I have nothing else to do. I know I can go to any fireman, any police officer, any motorcycle person. My favorite group to go after other than these repo men is motorcycle people, organ donors. You know, all you got to ask them is, tell me about this motorcycle. You know, what does your wife think about you owning this motorcycle? Next thing you know, you're talking about, yeah, you know, my friend just got killed on a motorcycle. What do you do if you got killed? They'll open up to you.
One final question. I'm sorry.
Okay. That's fine.
Yeah, I've looked at final expense, and I, you know, my forte when I begun was mortgage protection insurance, and I had a hard enough time in that demographic getting the premium that was required to buy even the face amount for the mortgage. And that's a cleaned up way of saying the people I was seeing didn't have big budgets. And you know they didn't because of the shape and the size of their house.
The question is, now how can you afford the insurance? My question is, how you can afford not to have the insurance in this prospect?
Yeah, I mean, you know, but I've been in some houses where I've written a $25 a month policy, and I knew that was stretching their budget.
Well, is
final expense any different? Everybody says final expense.
It is, because they are not fixing to lose their job, and they get that same amount of money. But let me kind of tell you something, because I got in this debate the other day with one of my clients. If gasoline was $6 a gallon, you still buy it, wouldn't you?
You have to.
The average man out there spends more money on direct TV cable bill than he does his life insurance.
Right.
The trick is, you got to really go back and realize what you can live without and prioritize everything. I spend $127 a month on direct TV, so I shouldn't say, oh, I've got $40 for life insurance. Maybe I should get rid of that HBO, Showtime, Cinemax, and all that stuff. Maybe I should get rid of washing my car every 2 days. Maybe I should get rid of that coffee. Or the average person that just bought a house can come up with another $30, $40, $56 a month if they really wanted to. I guarantee you, if gas went up to another $2 a gallon and you had to spend another $60 a week on it, you'd come up with it. So my step is how to make them think that.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't be able to get a loan for a house if they can't afford an extra $40 a month for something else.
Right.
Right.
I almost think you should be required to have insurance if you get a loan, like a loan insurance policy. Yes.
This is Nick. I don't mean to interrupt you or anything. We're going to have to go on and wrap it up here. Rick and I have got to jump off. So
I understand.
We really thank you for doing this. This has been fantastic. I've had such a great time listening. I'm so glad we got this recorded so we can go through this again and again. It's been extremely valuable, and we hope you'll maybe consider doing this again for us.
Oh, anytime. I appreciate y'all.